A bit of a prelude to the sermon. I won't begin until Musos have rejoined us. As you know, I've been in Tassie, and during the time that I was in Tasmania, I got a crazy idea in my head that I would buy a classic Mini and begin to restore it. This was part of my rest and also part of my own restoration, because while we are doing things, God is also doing things on us. And so God was working on me in a lot of ways as I worked on the Mini. You know that Jesus told stories, and he didn't necessarily explain them point by point. Occasionally he did, but often he left them as stories. He left them to do their work of sitting there in the mind and chipping away at our preconceptions and our preconceived ideas. So tonight's sermon is called The Man and the Mini, a parable of redemption, restoration, and future hope. And it's based very firmly in Psalm 139 with echoes of the Romans 8 passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your deep love for us and your deep work of restoring us. As I speak and tell this parable, may your Holy Spirit be at work in our lives so that we can hear your word and know your love and your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. The kingdom of God is like a man who went to a distant place. While he was there, he happened to walk past a yard full of old cars, minis that had not been driven for a very long time. His heart was moved and he said, "That's so cool! I'm going to buy a Mini and restore it." And so he walked over to the dealer and offered to buy one of the cars. The Mini that he purchased was nothing special to look at. For cars can be masculine or feminine, and this one was feminine. She was plain compared to some of the other cars. She had no particular beauty. She was not so colourful as the other cars and had some rust patches. But as he handed over his precious money for the Mini, his heart was filled with a surge of pride. "You never know what you're getting yourself into," some of his companions cautioned him. "Buying a Mini is a lifestyle, not a hobby. They're a lot of hard work. They are a money pit. If you want a reliable car, don't get a Mini." But the man just grinned and took the car home. He was now the proud owner of a non-drivable car. Some might say a useless piece of junk. "I have bought you, and now I am going to restore you," said the man to his Mini. This set the pattern. Though he knew the Mini could not talk back, the man got into the habit of conversing with her, making up their side of the conversation. As the man began the painful and difficult work of stripping back the top layers, he found what the Mini was hiding. While on the outside she looked in relatively good condition, inside there were serious problems: rust patches, oil leaks, ancient mechanicals. "You've been putting up a good front," the man said to her, "but no more. Now I can see what you are really like." As the man went deeper below the top layers, more and more problems became apparent. Sometimes the man imagined his Mini cowering in shame. "I'm so useless," he imagined her saying. "I'm so broken and frail. Why would you want a car like me? So much trouble. Why do you care? Can't you just leave me alone? Wouldn't it be easier than looking at all this and trying to deal with it?" And indeed, the Mini was hard work. Painful work. Constant work. But paradoxically, the more the man found out about the Mini's flaws and failings, the more he loved her. The more rust he uncovered and the more work he put in to restore the rust spots, the more intimately he knew her, the more the car became, in a profound sense, his car. "I bought you with my precious money," he said to her, "and I will restore you with my constant care and work, with my sweat and my blood." For as he worked in the engine bay, the heart and power source of the Mini, he wounded his hands with nicks and scratches and small piercings. As the stripping away of all the surface appearances proceeded, the man imagined the Mini saying, "Will we ever get to the bottom of this? Will I ever hit the bottom of this J curve? Is there any end in sight? This is so painful." "I will restore you, my love," the man would say. "I will make you a thing of beauty." And as the stripping away was complete, the Mini was a bare shell before him, with no more secrets. He knew her all over. "Now it is time to put you back together," he said, "better than before. Now, when the uncovering has finished, the restoration gets underway in earnest." So he converted the rust and painted the interior and fixed the engine. As he worked, the dirt and the grease from the Mini often got on his own hands. But he was glad to be getting his hands dirty for her sake. "No one else can see the value in you, but I can," he said to the Mini. "I can imagine what you will become." The day that he painted the interior, he stepped back to look in pride. "Now we are beginning to see what you may become," he said. "Now we are seeing glimpses of the glorious creature that you will be." And after the creative destruction, he started to put the pieces back together. Eventually, he was able to return the engine to its rightful place. "A new heartbeat, that's what I'll give you," he said to the Mini. With a new timing chain and spark plugs and the other work he had done, it was better than it was before he had bought it. The moment when he was able to start the engine was one of pure joy and delight. "Oh yes," he said, "now you are being what you were created for. For so long you have been languishing in that junkyard, but you were born to drive. Me and you on the open road, fanging around the corners, oh, we are going to have so much fun." Now, the man realized that the work on his Mini was not finished, that this would be an ongoing project. In fact, from the outside, the exterior of the car, things looked no different than before the restoration work had begun, and sometimes worse because of the work that he had done. Most of the work of restoration was invisible to everyone else because it was deep under the surface. But sometimes, just sometimes, when you caught a glimpse of the interior or heard the engine running sweetly, you could catch a glimpse of the Mini's glorious future, restored and better than ever, enjoying life with the man who had bought her and restored her and loved her from the inside out. It was a final twist that made the man smile with the irony of life. A nice touch, he thought. You see, the brakes were the last thing to go into the car before he could drive her. "My precious one," the man said to his car, "not only do you need to have a good engine so that you can run sweetly, you also need to have brakes in order that you can stop. Learn how to stop well and rest, or you'll soon crash and burn." And the restoration continues. And now the man can imagine the Mini saying, "Now I have hope that we do have a glorious future together." Whoever has ears, let them listen to the parable of the man and his Mini. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from me when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And Romans 8, 18 to 25. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Thanks to God for his restoring us.